Hello. Hi.
Hey, Kalisha. You can hear me, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
Do
cool.
you have your microphone set up?
Yeah. Okay, I think we're good.
Okay, great. How are you doing?
Doing fabulous. She's in my arms. She just fell asleep right before you called me.
And what's her name?
Her name is Magnolia, like the flower.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah,
Yeah, all the
she's cute.
magnolia flowers are blooming in Brooklyn right
I'm on
now.
the phone with Kalesha Tati. You might recognize her
Yeah,
voice from
she's
our
like
last episode.
literally everywhere.
She's the reporter who talked to us about Johnson and Johnson baby powder and the marketing of dangerous beauty
It's
products.
interesting because actually one of the baby shower gifts that I got was like a Johnson & Johnson gift set, and I'm like side-eyeing that, and I'm like, I don't know about that now. Like, I'm not sure. So yeah, I got
And if
her
you
some
remember, Kalesha was
baby
also
oil
very
body
pregnant.
wash. So
She
that's
had
what
her
I
baby
used
last
on
week, and so
her.
I gave her a call to see how
So
she was doing.
through my entire pregnancy, I was basically self-isolating, just because I didn't feel well, I didn't have any energy. So I was really excited to have my baby because I was like, I'll feel like myself again, I'll be able to take her out. So from going from 9 months of isolation to indefinite isolation, it's been really hard. To kind of cope with. Like, I cried for like the first few days because I was just like, I don't know what to do. I can't sit in bed all day. Like, I'm disappointed that I can't do the things that I wanted to do. Like, there were days where I was just like, I don't even know what I did all day. Like, it was just 9 o'clock in the morning and now it's 9 o'clock at night and I don't even know what I did. Like, I feel like I just stared at a wall all day. But I had to like tell myself, like, no amount of crying is gonna fix anything. You just have to make an alternate plan. So one thing that I try to do is get up in the morning, I take a shower just to like, get dressed. I put on real clothes every day. I have like a routine of like when she eats, when she sleeps, when I change her, and then I try to go on walks just around my apartment complex just to get outside. Because for a whole week, I didn't leave the bed, really.
Yeah, I can understand that. Well, the last thing I wanted to ask about, I mean, it sounds like a lot of really, really tough stuff, but like, can you tell me about a fun moment, like a moment of joy?
She smiles in her sleep, and I can't get a picture because it's so fast, but it's the cutest. Oh my gosh, I'm obsessed with her little face. She's so cute. But also, seeing my fiance with her, like he sings to her, the way he talks to her, I didn't know I could ever be more in love than I already am now. But I'm just like, seeing them together is just the best thing I've ever experienced in my life. So. I'm very fortunate that he gets to be home with us.
This is Bodies, a show about people solving the mysteries of their bodies. I'm Allison Behringer. Today, we're taking a break from our usual documentary storytelling to talk about something that's really important right now, and that's postpartum, the time after you give birth. This is a topic that I've been wanting us to cover since I started Bodies. I've spoken to so many parents and birth workers over the years, and it's become really clear to me that we just don't support mothers and birthing parents enough after the baby comes. After a person gives birth, there's a drop-off in their hormone levels, which has an effect on emotions and brain functioning. There's also lack of sleep, not to mention a huge life change. I think most people know about postpartum depression, but there are other mental health issues like postpartum anxiety and postpartum psychosis. A lot of the experts I've talked to have said that one of the first lines of defense against this is community support. But how do we find that support in the middle of a pandemic? With social distancing and stay-at-home orders in place, postpartum can be even more isolating and lonely. One of the people we spoke to for this episode is Shishi Rose. She's an activist, an educator, and a doula. As a doula, her job is to support people from pregnancy to postpartum, like helping them create a birth plan or find a good pediatrician. And she specializes in advocacy for Black families. Compared to white women, Black women are 3 to 4 times more likely to die during childbirth and the postpartum period, which includes up to a year after birth. In New York City, where Shishi lives, Black women are up to 12 times more likely to die. Research has shown that two of the biggest factors are medical racism and weathering, which is when stress from racism affects physical health. And so Shishi's doula work isn't just about providing emotional support. It can also be about saving a person's life. Like this one time after Shishi's client gave birth, the doctor didn't check the placenta to see if it was intact. And so Shishi stepped in. And it turned out there was an issue with the placenta. And if she hadn't been there, her client could have gone home and hemorrhaged to death. On top of her work as a doula, she just gave birth herself to a baby girl named Sula. Shishi was in labor for 12 days. And when Sula did arrive...
I remember crying a lot. Like ugly crying. And I remember her crying, and like the way that like newborns, their little mouths are, they just like the way that they scream is just really funny. Yeah, we were just like crying together.
Shishi is a single mom, and she's been home alone with her daughter for a few weeks now. I spoke with her on the phone when she was nursing. So I want to start with your pregnancy. I'm wondering, given your knowledge and your profession as a doula, when you were pregnant with Sula, what were some of the things that you were doing to advocate for yourself and prepare for the postpartum time?
I think that I was concerned about possibly getting postpartum depression just because I do have a history of depression, and I had to get off of my antidepressant when I was pregnant because it wasn't safe for the baby. And I was just like looking for whatever type of body type therapy alternatives that I could find. So acupuncture was really helpful for that. And then I also was in therapy with two different therapists. I feel like I worked really hard in my pregnancy to ensure that I had the mental health support that I felt like I needed. And that a part of that was me. Hold on a second. Okay. Part of that was me heavily planning the postpartum time. In order to prevent, not that you can prevent postpartum depression, but in my brain, in order to prevent it from happening, I am a heavy planner. And I'm like, if I plan everything and I organize everything and I get like support that I need, and I'm not like isolated by myself in those early weeks, then, you know, things are going to go better. And so, yeah, I was and still am very concerned about mental health in this postpartum time.
And what else did you know about postpartum mood and anxiety disorders going in? Like, I feel like people a little bit like know about postpartum depression, but I feel like the broader public doesn't necessarily like have all the knowledge about the different ways that that can look.
Well, I think one thing too that is definitely left out of the discussion is postpartum anxiety. I feel like everybody instantly goes for depression, but a lot of people have postpartum anxiety, and it presents in like so many different ways that there's not even like one like by the rule book, you know, way that it can look, because everybody's anxiety shows up differently. And I feel like postpartum anxiety is harder to pinpoint because as a new parent, you're already so anxious. A lot of the things that it says, like the books say about postpartum anxiety, about like watching the baby when the baby sleeps and like you think that something bad is going to happen to the baby and like all that, like that's just being a new parent in general. So it's really hard to lock down when that becomes more excessive. So I feel like that goes underdiagnosed and underreported a lot. And a lot of people don't get support around it because people don't know what's normal and what's not. So I felt like as much information as I knew about postpartum depression, I was not prepared for postpartum anxiety as much as I should have been. And I feel like that has been what has like come more into play than the depression.
Yeah. So, and I know you had your own doula in this. What were some of the things that your doula was helping you do?
My postpartum doula came to my baby shower and basically passed around a notebook to everybody so that they could sign up for jobs for postpartum. And at first I like didn't want to do it because I just felt like I didn't want to like ask my friends that bluntly to be like, hey, can you guys take my trash out and do my dishes? But I actually had several friends after the baby shower that were like, that was so cool that your postpartum doula did that. And they're like, I always want to like support friends that have a baby, but I never know like what to do. I also like this idea of asking people to show up in this time because this is not meant to be done alone. And even for people who are single and or people who choose to be single parents or whatever, like it's, you're never supposed to like parent alone. There's supposed to be a community aspect to all of this.
Yeah, definitely. And so, you know, you come home from the hospital, it's end of February, beginning of March, we're still a couple weeks away from the CDC announcing that there's a pandemic. And so what was that first week at home like?
The first week was like everything that I had planned with my doulas. It was me being fed and people bringing me drinks and, you know, staying over to help with the baby and my postpartum doula like massaging my body because I was so swollen from the birth. And it felt amazing that basically like I pulled it off, like it actually worked. They actually showed up and I'm really grateful for that. Everybody was kind of like on a schedule of like who could do what when and like who could do overnights and stuff. And it was really nice for like a week and a half to have that and to have them coming over and helping me get a break and just like loving on us and everything. And then this corona situation hit. And yeah, that kind of all went out the window.
Shishi felt prepared to be a single mom, but not like this. After about a week of being home with Sula, the governor of New York City put a stay-at-home order in place. And all the people that were supposed to show up couldn't come anymore.
We're stuck in isolation, and that's not something that I would really wish on anybody that was in the immediate stages of postpartum, or really just in parenthood in general. It sucks. I don't even know how to like describe it because it's like the exact opposite of what is needed during this time. So many people were ready and willing to show up. It is nice that we have that support system and that when this is over, we will still have that to rely on. People were jumping on Zoom calls like nonstop and like doing like Zoom hangouts and all these like Zoom events. And I'm just like, where was this energy before when, you know, we were all so busy with our lives constantly. And so I like do like that we've been told to slow down and like forced to talk to each other. I do hope that after this whole thing is over or whatever life looks like when it's over, I hope that like people continue to show up with the same energy and like really show up for each other.
More of Shishi's story and her work as a doula after the break.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
I'm talking with Shishi Rose, an activist and a doula who's at home in New York City with her newborn baby. The coronavirus outbreak has not only changed her own postpartum plans, it's also impacting her work as a doula.
Yeah, so the plan before I had her had basically been that I was going to like take off from doula work for a while, but since all of this happened, I've realized that there's a lot more need for virtual care, because that's the model that most doulas are having to switch to right now, is to like virtually support clients. Now they can have one partner with them, but now they still have to choose between having a doula or their like husband or wife or like whatever other partner, maybe their best friend or whoever was supposed to be there. So mostly it's just helping them to prepare for what life is going to look like birthing during this pandemic.
Do you feel like doulas are more important now? And do you feel like they're more important for the Black families that you work with?
I wouldn't say that they're more important now during the pandemic, but doulas were always important. Having a supportive person to help guide you through your birth process and advocate for you and support you, that's like always important. And I think that everybody deserves a doula, but marginalized communities like Black community does need doulas more than anybody else, because they need that person there advocating for them. They need that person there telling them that they're going to do okay, and that they can, like, they can advocate for themselves, and that they can have the birth that they want when everyone has been telling them that they can't have it.
You know, a lot of people have been talking about how the coronavirus has exposed gaps in our healthcare system or shortcomings in our healthcare system. And I was just curious, like, what you think about that.
I think it's really interesting that people are acting like these gaps were not exposed this entire time, because Black people have been screaming about all these gaps in the medical system constantly. People didn't kind of like wake up until white women were told that they couldn't have their doulas in the room with them. You know, Black people have been trying to fight against hospital policy and unfair policies for forever. We've been talking about medical racism and unfair practices and doctors inducing for no reason and doctors doing C-sections for no reason, and, you know, us really needing to change the way the medical system works and families deserving better. And like, we've been trying to like advocate around this for so long. And so it's almost like offensive to think that people are saying that these gaps in the healthcare industry have been exposed because of the coronavirus. Then it's like, what the hell have we been yelling about all this time?
What is your advice for people, especially marginalized people? What's your advice about giving birth, preparing for the postpartum period during this time?
My advice would be to take in as much information as you possibly can. Try to find yourself a virtual doula if you can. There's a lot that are doing free and sliding scale options for the people that can't afford it. I'm one of those people. Just find as much information as you can, because basically you're going to have to be your own doula if you're going in there without one. And to be your own doula means that you're going to have to like understand how the system works in more ways than you would have if you had a doula there with you. Like, really dig deep into what you want your birth plan to look like, how you plan to get them to like listen to your birth plan, like maybe also being open to the fact that plans change. Educating yourself and being open, I feel like, are the two biggest things that I can suggest.
Things didn't go the way that she wanted, not in her birth or her postpartum, but she's creating new plans to adjust and adapt. Shishi's friends drop off groceries at the door, and she's seen one of her friends who agreed to also self-isolate so she could safely visit Shishi. She says that the human contact and having someone there caring for her has been really important to her mental health. And she's doing her best to focus on caring for herself and Sula and thinking about the future.
I'm looking forward to just seeing my friends and like having her around my friends, and I'm looking forward to hugs and parties and looking forward to holding people's hands again. Like, that'd be great without worrying. It's hard to be this isolated, and it is depressing and sad, but at the same time, I don't want to look back on this and only see like sad times. I mean, every day with her is joy. Even right now, she's just like smiling at me so much. It's joy too. It's all of the things at once, which is just parenthood in general.
Thank you, Shishi Rose, for her time. In reporting for this episode, we spoke to lots of experts and parents. Some of them told us what they were missing. Others offered advice.
Think of the power that people had before in terms of laboring alone and birthing alone. Yes, it's not the ideal, but people have been doing it for centuries, right? Like, I talk about childbirth being a very intuitive process, that you really need to learn how to trust yourself. You really need to know how to trust your instinct.
Immediately, as soon as you're feeling your feelings, feel them, first of all. You just gave birth, so you know what it's like to feel the pain and let the pain pass. So let your feelings be similar. Let the feelings come and feel them. It's a little painful, you know, because, you know, I wanted, you know, so much more. And I'm such a big supporter of that. Like, you know, we celebrate life, new life in our family, like most families, you know. And we want to be there and cook and have the house smelling like good food and hold babies for the mommy and make all these jokes. You know, even now, like, I'm tearing up. I'm letting myself fully express my feeling, and I'm not trying to stop my emotion.
So we were looking forward to a different kind of maternity leave, where we met for coffee and took walks with the babies and got out of the house together. When you're sleep deprived, that coffee with a friend can, it's like Disneyland. You know, when is it going to be over? That's the hard part, is not knowing.
Do some screaming if you need to. If you need to do a primal scream in the car, go ahead. I get it, you know? We are seeing people, pregnant people and families, really having to dig deep and do more than they thought they were ever going to have to do. They already knew they were going to have to dig deep to birth, but this is a whole other level.
We took all the advice you just heard and more and put together an online resource for birthing and postpartum during COVID. To read about these resources and our interviews with doulas, doctors, and new moms, go to kcrw.com/bodies. A big thanks to all the people we spoke to for this episode, some of whom you just heard. Tiana Souffrant, Dr. Helena Wiesing, Kim Summer-Zuliger, Kim Borchert, Claire Nichols, Jillian Eldridge, Tara Brooke, Dr. Mary DeVera, Takesha White, Paige Bellenbaum, Dr. Kelly Treeter, Dr. Jennifer King, Shannon O'Brien, and F.A. O'Sarin. Also, it's Black Maternal Health Week, and we want to tell you about another podcast that's launching today. It's called Natal, that's N-A-T-A-L, and it's about having a baby while Black. Follow them on Instagram at Natal Stories to get the latest about their new episodes. I want to invite you to join the Bodies Facebook group, especially if you're a new parent or have advice to share. Nothing is off the table and everyone is welcome. You can find a link to the Bodies Facebook group in the show notes or by going to kcrw.com/bodies. You can also find these resources as well as episode transcripts on our website, bodiespodcast.com. Thanks to Sarah Schoengold for your design help. You can follow Bodies on Twitter at Bodies Podcast and me at Albie Tweetin, A-L-B-T-W-E-E-T-I-N, and on Instagram at ALB1919. This episode was produced by me, Allison Behringer. Editing this episode by Kalalia. Hannah Harris-Green is our associate producer, and Kristen Lepore is our managing producer. Original score and sound design by Dara Hirsch. Mixing by Mike Dodge Weiskopf. Our advisors are Caitlin Pierce, Kalalia, and Kasia Sadair. Research support from Liz Charkey. Cover artwork by Sarah Bachman. Episode art by Nika King. Bodies is supported and distributed by KCRW. Special thanks to the whole KCRW team. Stay safe, stay healthy. If you're able, stay home. If you're a healthcare worker or essential worker, thank you. See you in 2 weeks.